everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian
everybody,
Haar.
Hey everybody, I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Welcome back for part two of our sell low, buy high with Mr. John Hogue at Superflex Dude. He's not going to be here for this round of news or our Trade Addicts trades at the end. But, you know, we'll still have him in the middle because we recorded it last week and that's when he was here. Nothing entertaining happened for us to quip about back and forth, so we're just going to jump right into the news. Adam Schefter is reporting that the NFL is going to, at some point soon, let Jameis Winston know just how long he is suspended. We've been hearing 3 games for a while, but now there's a chance it might be more, it might be less, because why would the NFL ever just tell us what the hell they're doing? And why would it ever make sense with whatever the hell they are doing? So, Brian, does this affect Jameis Winston's dynasty value or even trade value right now to you?
Yeah, I think it does, unfortunately. I think it has a negative impact on his value. Part of this, you know, this bad behavior per se is starting to become a pattern for Jameis. I mean, several incidents at Florida State while he was there. Now in the league, and not little things. I mean, this latest episode is from 2016, I guess, when he allegedly groped an Uber driver. The way the attention has shifted towards incidents like this in general society, and I think that's a good thing that attention is being shifted to this type of stuff. You know, it doesn't surprise me that he's being suspended for this, and it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if Tampa would even choose to. I mean, this is the face of their franchise. This is their franchise quarterback. They drafted him first overall in the draft. You know, he's their star quarterback, an above average quarterback in the league for sure, or at least in my opinion. You know, yeah, I think this is going to have a negative impact on his value for fantasy, and mainly because it could have a major impact on his role in Tampa. You know, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do about this long term, but you know, I think there were a few reports out that said that the organization is tired of this, and
yeah,
I mean,
think that's just what they have to say. Not to diminish any of the bad things he's done or allegedly done or any of that. But the dude's going to get a job starting quarterback somewhere if somebody takes an ethics standpoint. I mean, of all the people that have gotten jobs with all the stuff we know they've done, the fact that Jameis has never been convicted will be able to calm someone's mind to say, hey, he's never actually been charged with anything, or he's never actually been found guilty of any of this, so of course we're going to take this starting quarterback. I mean, there's got to be a team that's going to do that.
Sure, just like Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. I mean, he has multiple incidents where he's been accused of things, never been proven guilty whatsoever. Same thing. I mean, if you're talented enough, you're going to have an opportunity in the league for the most part.
Yeah, whether that's a good thing or not.
Right. Well, the biggest thing for me, though, with this thing with Tampa, too, you're right. He is going to get an opportunity. They have set that offense up to give him a ton of weapons. He has a ton of weapons in that offense, especially in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he's coming up on, you know, this is his fourth year in the league. So, you know, I mean, he's coming up on contract time in the next year and a half. Right.
Yeah, they're going to start talking about that fifth year option soon.
Right. And quarterbacks just keep getting more and more expensive. So, you know, it's a little bit different in that these incidents are happening before he has gotten his big time money. He's costing himself money. I really believe that for sure, because they're not, you know, I mean, would you pay him $100 million? Right now? I mean, I don't know.
Do you want the real answer or, you know, the human being answer? The human being answer is no. The NFL answer is yeah.
But is it? Has he been good enough in his 3 years so far to justify that?
I think he's progressing enough. I don't know if he's necessarily shown anything, but I don't think you have to. The state of quarterbacks is, if your contract's up, you're the highest paid quarterback. As long as you can start for a team, you're the highest paid quarterback because you need to be you need to pay people that much to play the position, because if you don't, someone else will. And I keep saying it's an unfortunate truth, because it is unfortunate, because there are people making money that other people should be making, or at least spread around the team. I mean, to say there should be max contracts, like there is in basketball, I don't know how much that works in the real world, but you know, all these players making so much, and then we, you know, give Julio crap for sitting out when, you know, Dante Moncrief is making as much money as he is. I don't know if that's true. It was just the first name I came up with, a guy that got paid. It's just, again, the unfortunate truth. Again, saying it again. And I'm saying again a lot again. just talk so I can stop talking.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you make a good point. I think that, you know, in the league, there are quarterbacks that are starting in the NFL that, I mean, the lack of talent at the quarterback position, especially when you get to the back end of starting quarterbacks. I mean, there's, you know, there's some good ones in this league, for sure. I mean, obviously, but you know, when you, for example, I'll give you another, and I do think, so Joe Flacco, right? Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco wins the Super Bowl and Baltimore pays him elite money, right? And we're not going to get into all that Joe Flacco elite stuff, but you know, Jameis, I believe Jameis Winston is more talented than Joe Flacco as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Okay, but there's not that Super Bowl notch. Would Baltimore have paid Flacco if they had not won the Super Bowl? I don't think I don't think they would have. And Jameis Winston hasn't, to me, he hasn't done enough in the league to make me, and let me preface all of this by saying I'm a Winston fan. I mean, I've been advocating that he, especially compared to Marcus Mariota, because I've, you know, and I've made my feelings about Mariota known on the show, and you know, Winston to me is right. I mean, their numbers are very similar, and they're very different types of quarterbacks, but you know, Jameis hasn't won games. He hasn't won enough games to me to justify.
Team has been terrible until pretty recently.
And that's fair. That's fair. And here's the thing. He's going to have 13 games to prove it.
Yeah, this is a very important year for him, but isn't that reason to buy into him?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, it probably is, because you're going to be able to get this guy at a discount, essentially, because there's going to be people out there that either have an emotional response to what he did, or, you know, I mean, there are well-respected people in the industry that have feelings about, you know, certain guys with the domestic issues and domestic violence stuff that goes on in the league with you know, mixing his videotape, which is awful, you know, and different players like that. So, I mean, you know, there are going to be people that react to this emotionally. There are also going to be people that Winston already was like, I mean, he wasn't a QB1 in Superflex leagues for a lot of people.
Season last year, he was, I think he started to show that once he got healthy again, I think he started to show that he could be.
Here's the thing. I agree with that, Outhouse. I agree with that. I mean, I think Winston on the field, I think Jameis Winston is a starting quarterback and probably in the top half of quarterbacks in the league.
I don't think that's a hot take. I'm with that.
So, but I mean, there are other things here, and there are, and here's the thing too. What if he doesn't end up staying with Tampa? And you're right. It could just be company line, you know, hey, we're disappointed, and you know, if he doesn't shape up, we might have to move on. It might be a motivating factor for him too. Like, hey, clean your act up, buddy. Okay. So, I mean, all of that's valid. You know, but I do think he has to produce. I think the headache, the potential reward of having Winston as your starting quarterback, and I'm not talking about fantasy, I'm talking about real football, real NFL football. If you know, the reward of having him as your starting quarterback has to outweigh the junk, per se. Right now, they're about even, I'd say. So, you know, I think you're right. I think this year is a big year for him in terms of, you know, in terms of his future.
All right, so let's rein this back in. If you have Jameis, are you selling him? If you don't have him, are you looking to buy him based on the suspension, based on all of this stuff we were just talking about?
If I have him, I'm not selling right now.
Because you feel like it's selling low.
Correct. Yeah, okay. because I mean, he's going to miss the three games, but
well, it's trying to say, like, are you looking to get out from him, really, is the only reason you would sell him right now? Like, do you think he's spiraling? Do you think Tampa's dropping him and he's not getting a job? I think we've gotten past that. I think we've said he's playing quarterback somewhere.
Right.
In which case, you're selling low if you're selling him now.
Correct.
So, all right, let's flip that around then. Are you looking to acquire him on someone who is panicking?
Yes, but not at what his value should be.
All right, so you want someone else to be selling him low.
Yes, I want to buy him low. I'm not going to buy him at his current price based on everything that's going on right now.
All right, so let's pretend I have Winston on my team and I'm panicking. What would you send at me to try and get him?
I would probably send... So in this class with the quarterbacks that are in this rookie class with the quarterbacks that are out there,
mm-hmm.
You know, to me, Rosen and Mayfield are top four picks. Yeah. So it would be later than that. I would say I would pay something like the 10, maybe like the 108 and a second.
Yeah, you're getting like a seriously with a lot of question marks after that. And a rejection very quickly for me on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. I mean, I think the way that people feel about Winston as a player is there are a lot of question marks about him as a player. Then you throw in the junk, right? The off the field stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's just a balance, and I don't know where that balance, maybe I would pay slightly more than that. I don't know.
All right, so let's put it this way. Like, my idea would be to throw, like, Philip Rivers in a first, 19 first, something like that. An older quarterback who will still produce for the other guy and, you know, random pick out in the future. Would you be willing to do something like that for Jameis Winston right now?
I would consider it, yes. Here, it would depend.
I would do that real quick.
I probably would if I wasn't.
Yeah,
if I wasn't,
you're not,
I mean,
going to win everything this year,
right,
using Philip Rivers, and you were able to sustain those first three games.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good idea. I don't have Jameis anywhere, and I haven't tried this yet, but maybe I will now because I know – I mean, I have Matt Ryan. He's my oldest quarterback, I think, who isn't quite Philip Rivers.
See, but... I'd rather – so just to give you perspective there, I'd rather have Matt Ryan straight up than Winston right now.
Wow. I wish you had Winston and I had Ryan.
Yeah. Watch, somebody will offer it to me tomorrow and I won't do it or something.
Yeah,
I'm
hip. We'd have a trade at X2 trade to talk about at the end of the show if that was the situation.
Okay.
Right,
so go ahead.
No. We've been talking about Jameis Winston for way too long that I don't think anybody cares anymore. All right. We're going to move on and we're going to move on to, well, we were talking about buying Jameis Winston low. I called this guy my buy low. Randall Cobb is walking around in an ankle boot. I guess that's the really only kind of boot, is one that goes over your ankle. So he has an ankle injury. Is this scaring you off of him for now?
I don't think so. I mean, it looks like he's going to be ready for week one of the season, which is really all I care about. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been around in Green Bay for a long time. It's not like, you know, he has to work out his timing with Aaron Rodgers or anything, you know. So for me, no, I don't think this changes much for me. I still would be looking to buy him low.
I was about to say, you get to buy him lower now.
Right.
I would absolutely just go nuts.
I would
if
too.
I haven't already bought like maybe three or four shares of him already.
Yep, I agree.
Because it's still June, plenty of time. Randall Cobb isn't the healthiest person. You sort of know that going in.
Yep.
And yeah, again, June.
Well, okay. And this goes to, you know, the other thing I would try to do here is take advantage of, I mean, if you have a guy like Geronimo Allison or any of those other,
yes,
you know, three through seven wide receivers on that team, you know,
Jamon
now,
Moore,
right.
EQSB.
Yep. Valdez Scantling or whatever.
Yeah. Ricky Valdez something.
Yeah. I mean, this is the time to sell those guys high. You know, I mean, use the Cobb injury to, you know, I mean, he hasn't had the type of seasons that we were accustomed to early in his career, or his career hasn't taken the trajectory that we thought he would, you know, use that plus the injury and try to sell those guys. But for me, I mean, I'm also trying to buy Cobb because I think he's, you know, I definitely think he's the second best wide receiver on that team, and he's going to get opportunity as long as he's healthy. He struggles. He struggles with injuries. He always has. But if he can get healthy for the season, he'll be a factor in that offense. And with Aaron Rodgers at the helm, I mean, that's an offense I want a part of everywhere I can. So,
yeah, that's pretty easy. I don't think we're arguing about that, and I don't think we need to keep going on about it. So go buy Cobb. Go sell those other guys because, I don't know, the wide receiver three in Green Bay has been the long sought after thing since Cobb did it the first time. So, and it's like chasing the tight end in Green Bay. It's just not worth it anymore.
Yeah.
All right. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program of your buy highs and sell lows with John Hoag. Now, the position that matters, wide receivers. I probably made this joke last time, but I'm going to stick with it because wide receivers matter and running backs don't. And now I have someone on here that really agrees with me. So.
Yes.
All right, so get us started with your sell low, John.
I'm going to go ahead and sell low on Devin Funchess. His ADP is plummeting, and, I mean, it should be so much lower than this. What they're finally finding out in Carolina is that it does you absolutely no good to have these 6'5" giants who can just, you know, run the deep patterns. That's not what Cam Newton throws. It doesn't matter how big the guy is. It doesn't matter what his catch radius is. Cam Newton working the middle of the field is the key for the Carolina Panthers. They brought in DJ Moore. They're going to work, you know, Christian McCaffrey out of the slot a little bit more. Greg Olsen is healthy. And they're going to work the middle of the field. And there's not going to be a whole lot there for Devin Funchess anymore. So, you know, while people still think that he is going to be the wide receiver one, although I will say you might want to hang on to him for another year, DJ Moore's not going to do a whole lot as a rookie. Rookie wide receivers just don't do anything. But while people still think that Devin Funchess is a wide receiver one there, you know, sell him and get something back for him while you can potentially get, you know, a mid second round pick.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking around too, you know, hopefully to hope for a mid-second pick.
Yeah, that's kind of best case scenario.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, Brian, do you have any strong feelings about Funchess?
Not really. I mean, I think John makes some good points. You know, I haven't really been high on Funchess much to begin with, but you know, there were several people that were. So I mean, he was a sought after asset in Dynasty. I think DJ Moore probably ends that, you know, moving forward. Again, like John said, maybe not this year, but moving forward, I think DJ Moore is probably going to be the wide receiver one in that offense. You know, and they're going to use McCaffrey in that passing game as well. He may actually end up being the wide receiver one, or at least the statistically the wide receiver one in that offense moving forward here. But no, I don't. I'm not a big fan of Funchess either. So I'm with John on that one.
Yeah, I mean, that seems pretty easy. I would be hard to find someone actually trying to buy Funchess. I will admit that I fell victim to the Funch mania last year when he put up those two straight, like, 30-point games. I bought him, and then he barely ever put up double digits after that. So I hate the man. So not as a person. That's always going to be a qualifier. These are human beings, I know. As a football player and a fantasy asset, I do not like him. So let's go to another man that has let us all down a little bit. Brian, your solo?
Yeah, my solo is Martavis Bryant. And mainly because of the issues with the drugs and the suspension. I really feel for this guy. I mean, I want him to get his life turned around, but it seems like he's struggling with that. And it's affecting his career. You know, this is a guy that's going to miss a full season again. He's Josh Gordon, except a lot less talented. So, you know, for me, I think I'm not a person that has ever been a buy Josh Gordon guy. Not because I don't like his talent, but just the pattern of the trouble that he's in, and the things that play a major impact on his career that are outside of football. For me, just it's not worth the risk. And with Martavis, you have the exact same risk and a lot less talent, in my opinion. So for me, if I'm getting anything for Martavis Bryant right now, I would be selling. Again, I really hope that this guy gets his life in order. That first and foremost, you know, that's important to say. Again, like you just said, Outhouse, you know, these guys are human beings, and you know, I wish the best for them in their lives first, and then in their careers. So, hopefully, Bryant can get his life in order and make a comeback, and you know, and we'll value him again in the dynasty community. But as of right now, I'm selling low on this guy. If I have him anywhere, which I think I only have him in one league, I'm trying to sell for anything that I can get at this point. So
yeah, anything that's an asset. Speaking of falling victim, before last season on the name of the show, I'm going to cut this out because I'm blanking. Dynasty Blueprint. On the Dynasty Blueprint, Matt Williamson was like gaga for Martavis Bryant. And I bought it so hard that I bought him in a couple of places. I drafted him, I think, in like the fifth round of it was a 1QB startup, but the fifth round of a startup, and I was thrilled about it. Yeah, no. Again, hope the guy gets his life in order first and foremost. Human being, go get help, but I don't like you as a football player anymore. John, Martavis Bryant feelings?
Yeah, I just agree with everything you guys said. I mean, I do think that he's probably going to come for full circle. We need to know what the suspension's going to look like, though. I mean, is this 2 years? Is this lifetime? Is this just kind of an indefinite type of thing? You know, but he might come full circle kind of the way Josh Gordon did. You know, Josh Gordon fell into the abyss. And then when it was time for him to come back, then, you know, then all of a sudden you had, just by holding on to him through the suspension, you had a guy who was just shooting up the ADP and all kinds of value out of nowhere. So maybe more of a stash, I guess. But again, I mean, I just need to know what this suspension is going to look like. If it's 2 years, I'm not stashing anybody for 2 years.
Yeah, no, not worth it. Speaking of not worth it, having Allen Hurns on your roster is not worth it. He's my sell low. The same thing I said with Crowell. I think you can get some value for him out of someone by saying he's probably going to be the wide receiver one in Dallas. First of all, I think the Dallas passing game is going to be horrible. And I don't think even if he is magically somehow the wide receiver one in that system, it's going to matter. And I think the fact that you're calling him, I've been calling him the wide receiver one about three sentences in a row, means you probably can get if someone offered me a late second for Hurns, I would take it right away. I think anything with a two in front of it, and I would jump. I was never a Hurns fan, even when he was playing tight end in Jacksonville that 1 year, just like Moncrief is going to go and do now, because all he really did was catch touchdowns, and it made him look really good. I just didn't think he did anything special, and I don't think he as a player is anything special. So if you can get something for him, I say do it, because I think that passing offense, but clearly Zeke is going to be awesome. That passing offense is going to tank and take whatever value Hurns has with him.
Yeah, I mostly agree. I think that he could be a guy that you want to, he might get more, like his max value might come more mid-season, you know, just because they don't have anybody else. Like as far as a veteran presence, I love Michael Gallup, Colorado State guy. He's, you know, he played college ball a mile, or, you know, an hour away from where I live. And so I got to watch him on, you know, on local TV all the time, and just love the way he plays. But again, rookie wide receivers don't do anything. And I mean, somebody's got to catch the ball there. For this year, I think it could be Allen Hurns. So, you know, let him have a few big games, you know, as the number one target. And maybe then you sell. That might be a strategy.
Give him a couple of weeks and then turn him into a sell high.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, I don't know if it's worth the risk. I think I would just take something now if I can get it. But if you are gutsier than I am, then more power to you.
Yeah, totally.
All right. That is the sells. Let's talk about the people we like. Now, this is going to be fun. Now, if you've listened to this podcast for at least one episode, you've heard Brian talk bad about Devontae Adams. Now, we're going to have our esteemed guest talk good things about Devontae Adams. And I'm going to like just sitting back and listening to this. So go, John.
Yeah, this has been very civil so far, but this is probably where the gloves come off, I guess. So, because Devontae Adams is, I mean, simply put, again, Aaron Rodgers is the number one player for me by a lot in Superflex, not just the number one quarterback, but the number one player. And Devontae Adams is easily his number one receiver. He's the touchdown guy. He's the volume guy. He does all of that. I mean, Randall Cobb is going to work in between the 20s a little bit. Jimmy Graham, I'm going to talk about him a little later too. And, you know, he'll score some touchdowns. But, I mean, Devontae Adams is just kind of – he takes over the Jordy Nelson role. He's the new Jordy Nelson. And, I mean, the numbers that he was able to put up last year with – half a season of Aaron Rodgers, half a season of Brett Hundley, and he still, I mean, just missed 1,000 yards, I believe, but he still was a wide receiver one, and I've got him ranked as a top five wide receiver in Dynasty. He's going to be something special, and I mean, it all comes back to the guy throwing him the ball.
Brian?
Yeah, so for me, I mean, I've said several times on the show about how I don't understand the that's not right. I do understand why Devontae Adams is being valued where he is currently being valued. I just don't personally agree with that evaluation. I think he's too high. Could he be a wide receiver one? Absolutely, absolutely. He could be a wide receiver one. Is he a top five wide receiver in this league for dynasty football purposes? I don't believe so. For me, it comes down so a couple things. First of all, John, I think you're absolutely right. I think he assumes the Jordy Nelson role. Having said that, he's never faced the competition across from him that Jordy Nelson has faced. He's benefited because Jordy Nelson is on the football field with Aaron Rodgers. In the sense that he's never been top priority for a defense. I think that changes now. I think that he is the focal point of defenses in the NFC North as well as the rest of the league. I think if you're lining up against the Packers, who do you have to stop? Well, obviously Aaron Rodgers. But who's his number one weapon? It's Devontae Adams now. It's not Jordy Nelson. It's not Randall Cobb. You know, go ahead, John.
To interrupt you there, Brian, but I mean, okay. He was that last year. He was that in 2017. And in fact, I mean, it went beyond that because Brett Hundley could not find anybody other than Devontae Adams. So, I mean, you send all the coverage over to Devontae Adams that you want. You could bracket him all day. And Brett Hundley was still just laser focused on him. And, I mean, he was still putting up wide receiver one numbers for you week in and week out with Brett Hundley staring him down all day. And I don't know. I think that he was already there in 2017. So I'm not too worried about it. I mean, I think that there's some validity to what you're saying because, you know, now there isn't Jordy Nelson on the other side. But – as far as who was the wide receiver one, Devontae Adams has already been there.
Yeah, and I can't really disagree with that. He was the wide receiver one in that offense last year, statistically speaking. I still don't know that he was first weapon that defenses were looking to take away. But even if he was, especially with Hundley on the field, you know, look, here's the deal. It's not that I hate Devontae Adams or don't think he's talented. I do. I really do. I just don't believe he's worth where I don't think his ADP for me is out of whack. I mean, we're talking a guy that's going literally like in the top 15 of all players in the league in QB1 leagues. Obviously, we talk about super flex leagues here, so that's bumped that back a little bit, obviously. But, you know, I mean, we're talking about a top two round, essentially, startup pick in super flex leagues. And I just don't value him that way. I mean, this is a guy he's never had over. And yes, 1,000 yards receiving is a number. It's just a number. I mean, he almost hit it in 2016. Last year, I think he was 835 last year. So he's been around that number previously. Obviously, the touchdowns have helped a lot in terms of where his finishes are fantasy-wise. I still think he's a red zone weapon. So I understand all of the arguments for Adams. I've got to see it once before I'm buying this guy at the price that he costs right now. There are other guys, Mike Evans, for example, and I listen to your show every single week because it is absolutely my favorite show out there other than my show. Sorry, I have to say that. I love your show. You guys are my boys, and I listen every single week. It's the first podcast that I ever really became invested in and felt like I got to know you guys. You know, I was listening more because these were my buddies talking about football. So a little bit of a rewind there because that's a little mushy and, you know, but, you know, so, you know, Mike Evans, I listened to the show last week and Mike Evans versus Davante Adams came up. And for me, this is not even close. I don't understand Mike Evans' worst season in 4 years. He's younger than Davante Adams. He's playing with a quarterback that is going to be in the league for another 10 years, probably, that is above average. He's not, you know, Winston isn't, I don't think he's lived up to where he was selected in the draft by any means. Don't get me wrong. You know, and he has a long way to go. But, you know, Mike Adams' worst season is better than Davante Adams' best to this point. And Davante Adams, while he hasn't been the wide receiver one per se in that offense, he's still playing with Aaron Rodgers. So for me, these guys, you know, I would rather have a guy like Mike Evans. And look, Evans is obviously coming off a bad season per se. Okay. You know, but he still was over 1,000 yards. He still had 80 some catches, I think, or high 70s, something like that. So for me, I'd just rather have a guy like that I've watched produce. I've watched him produce. I know what he's capable of. You know, I don't really know what Adams is capable of. I know he's capable of catching 75 passes for just shy of 1,000 yards and catching touchdowns, which clearly he has had a role in that offense catching touchdowns for the last couple of years. I don't know if that role is going to continue with Jimmy Graham coming in, with the running game being stronger, in my opinion, than it's been recently, you know, with Aaron Jones. And I know you're with me on that one as far as loving Aaron Jones.
Love Aaron Jones.
Right? So, I mean, I think there are other weapons in that offense now that are going to be used in the red zone. It's not going to be so much Davante Adams, you know, realm, essentially. Is he going to get his? Yeah, he's going to get his. But I don't know that he's going to get double digits every year moving forward. And if he doesn't take a significant step, which he could possibly take, I'm not saying it's not beyond the realm of possibility that he could jump into that elite status. I just haven't seen it yet, and I'm not willing to take him over guys like Evans, where I've seen Mike Evans produce in that elite category in multiple seasons. So that's why I'm not buying Davante Adams high. I'm not saying I'm not buying him at all. I'm just not buying him at his current market value. So that's where I stand on this. But I understand the arguments that can be made for Adams. They make sense. Aaron Rodgers is absolutely a stud quarterback. He's one of the best we've ever seen play this game. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion. You know, Adams is stepping into the wide receiver one role in that offense. So it all makes sense to me. I just need to see it before I can buy him at his current price.
What's his current price?
14th overall in ADP in one quarterback leagues. I don't know what it is in two quarterback leagues right now. I should know that, but I don't.
I think I've got it here. Middle
ranking,
of the
rankings wise, I believe he's like mid to late second round startup in two quarterback leagues.
Yeah, that's exactly that. It. And
I would totally buy him for that.
But yeah. Like, here's my problem. Here's my problem again in looking at where he's going in comparison to other players. Okay, I would take Allen Robinson before I take Devontae Adams. No. That's me.
That is absolutely me. You.
No. Okay. That one's kind of not close for me. They're about two rounds apart for me.
I think I'm closer than that, but I still think it's Adams by a decent amount.
I think Diggs is in that conversation too.
How do you and like you Diggs more than me all of a sudden?
Diggs is closer than Robinson.
That's true.
So, I understand the argument. I just need to see it from this guy. And here's another thing that we didn't talk about at all yet. Three very serious concussions. I thought he was dead when Danny Trevathan hit him last year. I literally thought he was dead. But I mean, did you guys see that? Obviously he's not. And thank goodness not. I mean, that was literally, you know, that was one of the times.
Thoughts and prayers worked that time.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and honestly, I mean, that was a hit where you thought this guy might not walk again, or he might not ever be the same again after that hit. I mean, it was disgusting. Yeah. If you watch it in slow motion, the helmet-to-helmet contact, it was really scary. And that's the third concussion he's had in the National Football League, and they've all been big hits like that. So that's another thing that concerns me about Adams is, you know, he's going to get targeted, obviously, in that role. I mean, wide receiver one for Aaron Rodgers, you're going to get the ball, right? So obviously the risk is there. You know, now obviously, I mean, all of these players have risk. Every time they lace up the boots and go out, they have risk. But, you know, Adams has a history of head injuries in the league. He's one massive hit away from not playing again. So that's another thing for me. I just can't take him over some of these other guys that don't have the risk and don't and who have already produced on the football field at an elite level. That's where I stand on it. Again, I understand the other side of this. I really do. And I don't have a problem with people loving Devontae Adams. It's fine. I get it. I understand. I just can't go there. That's just my personal opinion.
It's okay to be wrong sometimes. It's just the way it is. All right. So I think between all of that, people can make up their opinions on how they feel about Devontae Adams. I'm with John. I think he's a buy at the price he's at. Because I think there's definitely a chance he will be more expensive. And since we've gone far too long without hearing my voice, we're going to jump into my buy high, which is Michael Thomas. And I think Michael Thomas is awesome. Brian came at me trying to get Michael Thomas in the original offer for the deal we're going to talk later. And I did. Was having none of that. That's a lie. Like I've always said, everybody's always on the table. If he was willing to pay the ridiculous price I would want for him, then I would have done it. But Michael Thomas right now is, I have nothing in front of me, and I'm going to make this up as I go along, probably around the wide receiver 5-6-ish. I don't think it's very long before he's the wide receiver 3. Odell, because he's the 101. Odell, Nuke, Michael Thomas. I think it's going to be that very soon, and I would not be surprised. And I don't care that Drew Brees is, you know, 47 and a half years old. I think I used 47 for Benjamin. I don't care. But the joke stands. I don't care how old Brees is. I trust Sean Payton. I don't think he's magically leaving when Brees does. I feel like the Saints organization has handled themselves well enough that they will have another quarterback who is decent enough to throw the ball within the vicinity of Michael Thomas, and that's all he needs because the dude is giant. I am a very big fan of Michael Thomas. I would pay 3 firsts for him. I know, John, you said before you have a very short list of 3 first people. Michael Thomas is one of those. Hopefully nobody else that I am dealing with is one of those guys, because I would love to not have to pay that. But I think he's worth it, and I think he can be worth more than that. Does anybody come close to believing what I just said about Michael Thomas?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not a three first type of guy for me, but it's an easy, you know, two first plus. I've got him actually ranked one spot behind Davante Adams. So he's probably not a buy high for me because, I mean, I think his ADP is wide receiver 5. I've got him ranked wide receiver 6. Mm-hmm. So he's not quite there for me, but man, I love Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think that this just, all that happens is this becomes his team mm-hmm. when Drew Brees leaves. And they'll find a quarterback, you know, and he's still going to have value. He's still going to put up numbers. So, yeah, I'm almost on board. I'm just a little too low on him for him to be a buy high for me.
I'll take one foot on the train. It's fine.
Yeah.
Brian. And for me, he's right at wide receiver 5. So this makes sense to me. I'm a big Thomas fan as well. You know, I think last year he was hurt a little bit. He only scored 5 touchdowns, and that hurt a little bit. Yeah, but
so fluky.
He is, well, it is. Obviously, it's a statistic that's harder to predict than others, I think. He's really consistent. I mean, this is a guy you can count on for double-digit fantasy production almost every week. Mm-hmm. Regardless of game flow, regardless of circumstance, regardless of anything, he's going to catch 5 balls for 50-some yards. It's almost, you can just write it in the book. So, you know, I'm with you. I like Thomas a lot, obviously. I was coming after him in Trade Addicts, too, before we made the deal that we ended up making. But yeah, I'm a big Michael Thomas fan. I think, you know, as long as Drew Brees is there, and that may be a short time period, but I think he's an elite option with Brees. And I think he's still borderline elite at worst with, you know, another quarterback that they bring in. So I'm with you on this one.
All right. So why don't you jump right into Corey Davis?
Yeah, so my buy high is Corey Davis. I'm a big fan of this guy. I just think he's got all the talent in the world. I'm excited about the new offense with LaFleur in Tennessee. So, you know, I don't think Davis was 100% healthy all year last year. And, you know, I think once he gets healthy here, if he can stay healthy through mini camp and through training camp and into the season, I think this guy's going to show that he's an elite asset, and his value will rise significantly in the first half of this season if he's able to do what I believe he's capable of. So we'll see what happens with this offense overall. I'm really excited about the Tennessee Titans offense mm-hmm. Just in general. You know, there's a lot of guys there that, you know, I don't know exactly what the split's going to be at running back or any of that, and we're not trying to figure that out in this episode, but I am very excited about that offense. I want to see what these talented players can do without Mike Mularkey bogging things down in Tennessee. So I'm a big Corey Davis fan. He was my wide receiver 1 last year in the rookie drafts. He was my number 1 overall player in rookie drafts last year, honestly. So you know, I'm excited to see what he can do, and I just hope he can stay healthy. That's, for me, I think that's the biggest thing. If he can stay healthy, I think he's going to produce, and I think this is a guy that next year we're talking about a wide receiver 1 easily in this league if he can do what I believe he's capable of. So,
what do you think you have to send to get him?
I think multiple firsts, personally.
Really?
If I owned him, it would take – well, let me say this. Obviously, the 101 – I would not
doesn't
sell,
count.
Saquon, okay. I would take him above any rookie in this class. I would take Corey Davis above. I mean, Darius Geis for me is the wide receiver, or I'm sorry, not wide receiver. Good grief. Yeah. The 102 in rookie drafts is Darius Geis for me still. And I would take Corey Davis over Darius Geis, so pretty easily, too.
There was a lot right before rookie drafts, a lot of people were asking what Corey Davis's value was, and that was kind of my answer, was less than the 101, more than the 102.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm right there with you. I actually don't know your feelings about this, John. How do you feel about Corey Davis and that Titans offense?
Again, totally agree with you guys. I mean, I think that you're dead on with the value. you know, somewhere in between Geis and Barkley, and or, you know, those draft slots. But I actually want to throw something to you guys. This is a literal, like an actual real life trade proposal that I have in a super flex league.
Ooh.
So where Corey Davis is my third wide receiver, because again, you know, I started with quarterbacks and wide receivers. I ended up with, you know, I've got Aaron Rodgers, Marcus Mariota in a super flex, and then it's, you know, Beckham, Amari Cooper, and Corey Davis. So, I mean, you could argue that one of those, maybe Corey Davis is my wide receiver too, depending on how you feel about Cooper. But so I've got an offer on the table for to give up Davis. I would get back Michael Gallup, a 2019 first, and three 2019 seconds. And I'm really wrestling with this. I mean, I don't value 2019 draft picks anywhere near. The way I always look at it is a 2019 first is worth a 2018 second.
Yeah, I can see
that. You know, so
but even
that's kind of how I've
the big wide receiver class coming out and your team wide
yeah,
receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason for that is, you know, 2018, especially with this roster that I feel like I feel like I've got a contender, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that Corey Davis is part of that. I think that part of if I'm able to, you know, get to the playoffs and do some damage, it's going to be with Corey Davis as one of my starters in this. And it's in a PPR format. You know, he's going into a year where wide receivers typically take a pretty big step, you know, possibly even a breakout. And I think that he's going to be a part of that. So if I was to give him up for 2019 picks, even though those are going to be really good wide receivers, I have to wait a year mm-hmm. to take a wide receiver that I have to wait a year for him to do anything, you know? So I'm kicking the can to a point where, you know, I don't get anything out of that until 2020.
Yeah. This is one of those four quarters for a dollar trades for me. I think I would eat much easy. That's not the right words. I would much rather have Corey Davis than the pieces, which again, I think 19 seconds, I guess I would probably just use those as the way this guy's using them and try and throw them into trades to add, bolster the value. But Gallup, you know, we've talked a little bit about that. We like him, and the 19 firsts always have value, and there's going to be good players coming out, but Corey Davis, I mean, he was my 101. I took him a bunch last year at the 101. I'd keep Corey Davis.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, and I honestly think I would too, John. I mean, it's tempting, especially, you know, unfortunately, 19 firsts is hard to predict where they are, even when we try to project them out.
Yes, no, that is a bad game to play.
Yeah, you just, true. That's right. You just never
especially
know.
Especially if I give them Corey Davis.
Exactly.
All of a sudden.
Exactly. So, yeah, for me, I think, and again, you being a contender in this league, I think the hope for you is that Davis takes the step that we all are expecting him to take. And if he does, he's going to be an asset that you wouldn't have traded for the price that you're getting for him now. So for me, I think I'd pass on that as well and just hang on to him. That's just my opinion. But yeah, I'm with you guys on that. I don't think I could move Davis for that.
Nice. Okay. Finally got some affirmation here. So sorry, rolling with my homies, but I'm about to reject that one.
Yeah, that was exciting.
That was exciting. I like that. Yeah.
Right. That just happened in real time. Right. Love it.
Awesome.
So let's temper down our excitement because we're about to talk about tight ends. I think. Yeah, we talked about all the wide receivers. We're moving on to tight ends. And while John is hitting the reject button, Brian, why don't you're really going to bad talk Tyler Eifert again?
Of course I am. If I get a chance to bad talk Tyler Eifert, man, I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Go, man.
I'm just not a Tyler Eifert guy. I just don't understand this guy. I mean, 62 catches, 615. No, I'm sorry. Let me rewind that. 52 catches, 615 yards is the best season that this guy's had. He did catch 13 touchdowns that year, so leave me alone on that. But I don't see it with this guy. The injuries are just, they just continue to add up. This guy's body is shot, and he's 27 years old or something like that. I mean, I just, for me, Tyler Kroft is better than Tyler Eifert, or at least he's more reliable. I don't know. I mean, he's probably not a better athlete at all, but I'd rather own Kroft because he's reliable. He's going to play double-digit games. I don't think Tyler Eifert's played double-digit games more than one season his entire career. So for me, I'm selling Tyler Eifert. I don't own Tyler Eifert anywhere because I've already been out on this guy. But I believe he's a tight end 18 right now over at DLF in their ADP. And I don't want anything to do with this guy. If I can get any type of pick or player that I can roster, I'm taking him for Tyler Eifert. I'm not a fan of this guy. He seems like a nice person, but I don't want anything to do with him in fantasy football or dynasty football. So, my takes on Tyler Eifert are extensive and well known, and I'm just adding to that list now. Not an Eifert fan.
Are you a Eifert believer, John?
Nah, not really. I mean, you know, normally those numbers that you talked about there, Brian, I'd be fine with that in most cases. You know, if you're getting 13 touchdowns from your tight end, I mean, there's not a whole lot else that you can ask for, you know, without giving up some pretty significant draft capital, you know, to in your startup to get that guy. So.
Let me say something about that too. John, I agree. I mean, if he consistently was putting up, you know, 8 or 9 touchdowns and 600 yards, that would be fine. I would be absolutely fine with this guy. He put up 13 touchdowns in 2015. He has 7 total in 5 NFL seasons outside of that year.
Yeah. Yeah. If that was his actual ceiling, you know, if that was anything beyond an outlier type of season. But yeah, I mean, Andy Dalton's getting worse. This entire offense is getting worse. And now Tyler Kroft is there too. So yeah, I don't think that the ceiling is anywhere near that for Tyler Eifert. So yeah, I'm totally with you on Eifert.
Yeah, same. Whenever someone puts a poll on Twitter and Eifert's involved, I always just say that he's a non-factor. You know, he's a zero value player to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so John's player makes me a little sad because I had high hopes for Austin Hooper.
Oh, so did I. Yeah. Yeah, I think we all did. I mean, you know, coming out of college, we knew what kind of upside he had. We knew what the talent is. It's just this offense, this Atlanta Falcons offense, just has no use for tight ends, and they haven't since Tony Gonzalez retired. And I mean, you know, maybe at some point he escapes and goes to an offense that actually wants to use him. But, I mean, until further notice, Austin Hooper is just kind of a guy, you know. He's on an offense that doesn't really have any use for him and a quarterback that doesn't look for him and probably couldn't support more than 1 or 2, you know, fantasy relevant pass catchers anyways. And now Calvin Ridley's there to kind of clean up some of the stuff that would have went to Austin Hooper. So yeah, I don't see any significant upside anymore.
Yeah. Sadly, I agree.
Yeah.
We're just going to go to mine because they're tight ends and we don't need to spend that much time on them. Sorry, Brian. Greg Olsen is my sell low. I think you could still actually get something for Greg Olsen from a competing team. The dude has back problems. He's had a leg problem. He interviewed for Monday Night Football jobs in the booth. Writing's on the wall that I think this guy's done. He'll still probably put up some decent numbers this year. I would take probably anything for him at this point. Again, if I saw number 2 in the front, now I'm just going to be saying I'll do jumping jacks, even though I would never do a jumping jack. But since Brian said it, I'm going to keep saying it. Greg Olsen, I like him as a dude. I like him as a player. I think he's done.
I think you might get one more season out of him, too. He's another one of those guys. Just because, you know, DJ Moore is a rookie, and he can't expect a whole lot out of rookies. Devin Funchess is kind of a big guy that runs deep, and I don't know. I have no – we already talked about Devin Funchess, so, I mean – Cam Newton's going to throw to somebody. I mean, not a lot, but he generally targets one of his pass catchers, at least one of his pass catchers 100 times. That probably mostly goes to Christian McCaffrey, but Greg Olsen is kind of the next best candidate, I would think. So I'm not totally done with Greg Olsen, but I hear you for sure, and I think that day is definitely coming in hot.
Brian, you're allowed to talk now if you'd like to.
Oh, appreciate it. I'm in the same boat. I think I think the end is probably near. I think you could get another year out of Olsen. Like John said, you know, the other weapons in that passing offense aren't proven, aren't guys that I think Cam feels like he can rely on outside of maybe Christian McCaffrey with what he did last year. But I will say, you know, taking another direction, I think we've talked about this outhouse. What an amazing tandem Jason Witten and Greg Olsen would be in the booth.
Oh, yeah.
I would love that tandem. That would be absolutely worth watching.
I would not watch games I cared about just to listen to those guys comment on a game. Commentate? Comment? Whatever
absolutely.
The word is for that. All right. So that took a weird turn. Let's move to our buy highs. And because this is another thing that I don't think gloves are going to come off for, but it's another thing apparently John and Brian disagree about. John, go on about your tight end.
Jimmy Graham, who brings with him everywhere he goes at least a 25% target share in the red zone. And, I mean, he did it in New Orleans. He did it in Seattle. I mean, beyond that, he's just kind of another tight end, you know. And, again, you can spend draft capital to get the big names, to get Kelce and Ertz and Gronk. Or you can live like the rest of us and just kind of throw darts at these guys. And Jimmy Graham is the exact same dude as, you know, all the – you know, the George Kittles and now I'm drawing a blank on some, you know, Austin Seferian Jenkins and all those guys. They're just kind of, there's just this big tier of guys who are, they're just kind of all the same guy. Yeah. But the difference, what sets Jimmy Graham apart from the rest of those, you know, mid-tier tight ends is that he always gets targeted a ton in the red zone, and that's going to continue in Green Bay. And I mean, I don't know for sure what Brian's case is going to be here, but I'm going to try and shoot holes in it before he even gets a chance to lay it out there. Because if you don't think Davante Adams is going to get red zone looks, you have to acknowledge that Jimmy Graham is going to get them. One of those two guys is going to score touchdowns.
Brian.
Yeah. So, I think that's a good point, John. I don't know what else to say, but I think that's definitely where Jimmy Graham's value lies, is in the red zone, scoring touchdowns. If, you know, Aaron Rodgers historically has not used his tight ends outside of Jamarcus Finley, you know, the way that we as fantasy players would like him to use his tight ends. You know, Richard Rodgers did catch some touchdowns as well a year or two, I believe. But, you know, I think you make a good point. I think Graham is probably going to be used in the red zone. I think that is where his value lies, period, though. So if he doesn't catch those touchdowns, for me, he's not a guy that I would want to buy at the current value. Now, if he does, then he's probably worth where he's going. I really can't argue that. So, you know, we'll see. The good news is, you know, Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, you've said it multiple times during the show. I mean, this guy's unbelievable as a quarterback. And if you're in the passing game and you're one of the weapons he's looking at, you're probably going to hold some type of value in fantasy. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Jimmy Graham. I hope that's another guy that has been fun to watch over his career. I mean, this is a guy that like dominates the position typically. Last couple of years, not as much outside of the red zone, but you know, since the patella injury. But yeah, I mean, it's harder for me to argue this one. I think last week I did have him as a sell high. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that his value is super out of whack. It'll just depend on how he's used in that offense. So until we see it, I guess we're really not going to know, you know, but I think you make some great points about his usage and in the red zone and what he could potentially bring there in Green Bay. And since I stood so strongly on the Davante Adams take, I will back off on this one slightly and and say that I can understand that one and you might be pulling me that way a little bit. So.
That's exciting. Nice. As long as I got you on one of them, I'm good with that.
All right. And since I did absolutely no preparation for this, I have not seen who Brian put down at his buy high tight end. And again, I wish I thought of this first. Go ahead, Brian. Talk about your guy.
Yeah. So my buy high tight end is David Njoku. You know, this guy is an athletic freak. He's Vernon Davis to me in terms of his athletic ability, and I like that in my tight ends as well. So, you know, I we'll see what happens in Cleveland. I'm excited about Baker Mayfield. I guess I'm, you know, I mean Tyrod's going to be there for a little while, but I'm excited about Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. You know, he and Mark Andrews in college really, you know, he used the tight end position very well. And I'm just excited about the way that they can use Njoku and his athleticism. I obviously am a little bit concerned about the other weapons in that Browns offense now. Man, that feels really weird saying.
Weapons in the Browns offense.
Yeah, it really does. But, you know, with Gordon, you know, back and apparently healthy and on the outside, Jarvis Landry now running the underneath routes. And, you know, that backfield, I think, is more than capable. You know, so there are a lot of weapons, and again, that feels so weird saying, but there are a lot of weapons in Cleveland on the offensive side of the ball. So we'll see what happens as far as the, you know, how the touches are distributed and whatnot, but, and the targets. But I think Njoku is a super talented kid athletically. He's gotten better at blocking, which helps in terms of him staying on the field. That was a concern, I think, last year was his blocking ability. But apparently he's coming around in that regard. Now, for fantasy, we don't care other than it keeps him on the field. You know, but he's 21 years old, so he's still really, really young. I mean, if this guy breaks out in his fifth season, we're talking about a 24, 25-year-old tight end. You know, breaking out. So I'm a big Njoku guy. I like him a lot. I think he's, you know, I think he's super talented athlete. And if he can put it all together, this kid can be a stud. So we'll see what happens. But I like Njoku.
Yeah, me too. I think you have to pay a first, and I think I would pay a first for him.
Yeah, easily. And Tyrod Taylor made Charles Clay into a tight end one. Charles Clay led the Bills in receptions in 2016, and he was on his way to doing it again in 2017 before he started dealing with injuries. So, yeah, I mean, you got to think. No idea what this is going to look like when Baker Mayfield era begins, but with Tyrod Taylor, David Njoku's in line for a lot of targets.
Yeah, I like it. I like Njoku. Always have. Always will. Moving on, Zach Ertz is my buy high, and Brian gushed about him enough last episode that I don't think I need to go on too much. He's very good, and I don't think you have to pay too much for tight ends just because they're tight ends. Man, I really feel bad. Like, if like tight ends are listening to this show for some god unknown reason, I don't hate you. I promise. I just, not enough of you are good for your position to matter.
Just every NFL tight end and just made a call to their moms right now. Just,
some guy talks bad crying about me on the internet. but yeah, no, go buy Zach Ertz. Just like Brian told you last time, I'd pay. I think we said that my magic number is like the 104-ish. I would do it. I mean, I know this year that's losing you one of the quarterbacks. I don't care. You will be fine at the tight end for a very long time. He's 27-ish, probably 28,
he's,
I think.
He's 27.
Yeah. So, I mean, tight ends, you're going to get another 4 years out of him, and that's all I care about. You know, you play that three-year window. At least that's how you should play if you don't, so I say. So, yeah, no, all about Zach Ertz. Does anybody, for some reason, have anything negative to say about Zach Ertz?
No.
No?
No, I think that's fine overall. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of movement for him as far as tight ends go. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's probably, for most people, he's either two or three, and I don't see pushing him much higher. But overall, yeah, I think that that's a really good one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. I've made my feelings on Ertz known over the last several weeks. So I'm a big Zach Ertz guy, super consistent, easy to root for, which doesn't matter in fantasy. But I like Ertz a lot. I think he's super talented. He's hooked up with Carson Wentz now for the next several years, for the foreseeable future. Doug Peterson, you know, calling the plays. So I'm excited about that and that connection. And I think Ertz is going to be a top three tight end for the next several years. And I like this one, Outhouse.
Yay. All right. That is our buy highs and sell lows. That was another fun one. And it has officially been over 2 hours that we've been recording. So, you know. All right. Now it's time for some Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues, 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, tight ends, premium. We have three trades, and all of them are from Trade Addicts 3. I'm sending this as a personal challenge, insult, call it whatever you will, to the other three leagues. Come on, man. We need some other leagues to talk about. The guys in Trade Addicts 3, you know, I wasn't going to say it, but they're talking bad about you guys. You know, what are these guys doing? They can't call themselves Trade Addicts. They're not doing any trades. What is this? They say they're keeping this podcast afloat, and you are sinking us. That's what they're saying. It was behind your backs, but I'm putting it out there for you. So, Brian, as a representation of two of those leagues, how does that make you feel?
Well, you're in one of them, so I'm going to let you take the blame for that league.
Okay, I'll take one. I'll take one.
And we made a big trade in that league last week, so we're off. We're both off. I'm scapegoating. We're off the hook. That's all.
All right, yeah. Okay, so everybody else in those leagues, get your crap together.
Yeah, Trade Addicts 4, we got to get going. I'm not sure. I know we've had some conversation in the chats about, you know, not making trades just to make trades. But at the same time, you know, there's been some pretty good trades offered. I know because I've offered a few. and I've gotten a few that have been close, but then counters weren't working. So, you know, I'm sure we'll get there. It's just, yeah,
I'm telling you, one day, yeah, I'm just going to log in as the commissioner and start offering trades to different people from everyone else. Like, one per team, just to keep it fair.
Yeah, no, it definitely seems a little bit slow, in some of the other Trade Addicts leagues, but, I think it'll pick up. I do. I think, as we get into, and I know this is a few weeks away still, but as we get into camp and we start hearing camp reports and all that stuff, I think it'll get going more.
Yeah.
So hopefully. Yeah, I'm going to log off the podcast tonight and go offer like six people trades. So just,
that's what I like to hear.
Okay. So they're coming, boys, in Trade Addicts 4. You won't be listening to this prior to me sending the offers, but I'm going to go ahead and do that this evening, and we'll see what happens. See
all right,
if
so
you can get one done.
Let's get to these.
Yeah.
First, there's a little baby trade I want to talk about, and it is purely because these guys, without even having heard these podcasts yet, followed my advice to each other. This trade was Allen Hurns for Isaiah Crowell. Both of these guys or sell low for mine. Sell lows for my... Nah, that's not words. Sell we're both sell lows that I recommended. How about that? That's English. All right. So, Alan Hearns for Isaiah Crowell. They're sell lows, so I don't really care. I mean, I guess roster construction, whatever. Do you have any care for... okay, wait. Twitter, 72 to 28 in favor of Hearns.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me. You know, I think people look at the situation in Dallas as far as the wide receivers go. Somebody's got to catch the ball there. You know, at this point, I think people are expecting Hearns to be the number one there. You know, whether Michael Gallup can get in there and you know, take that role, that top spot from him, who knows? I'm just not excited about this passing game. You know, Dak, the last 8 weeks of the season was like barf worthy. Yeah. You know, now he over the first 2 years of his career overall, when you look at the overall statistics, you know, Prescott is good, very mm-hmm. good for a young quarterback in this league. But those last eight games last year, man, were ugly. And I think that they are going to ride the crap out of Zeke Elliott. But, you know, he may have 350 touches, honestly. So, you know, I think that's the focal point of that offense with the pass mixed in, play action and different things like that. You know, Hearns, we'll see. I'm not really excited about him in Dallas, to be honest. And as far as Crowell goes, you know,
same logic really counts. Someone needs to run the ball in New York.
That's right. That's right. And I think that he will get the first opportunity in that offense to run the football. So, you know, I guess it does. It is roster construction or positional scarcity.
Yeah, it's wherever you need a dart throw.
Right. I mean, yep.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. We don't really need to talk about that anymore because who cares? All right, so now let's move on to some big boy trades. This one is one of mine. I traded away Todd Gurley.
What?
I did that. Wow, that threw me off.
You're welcome.
All right, I traded away Todd Gurley, Alex Collins, and Dante Pettis for Le'Veon Bell, Jordan Howard, and Aaron Jones.
Yep.
This Twitter had 68 to 32 in favor of the Bell side. Yep. So I win this trade. Now, I figured right away I was going to have your backing on this. So just tell me I'm right and tell me why I won this trade.
Yeah, I definitely like your side in this one. I get the mystique and the appeal of Todd Gurley. Not the mystique, the appeal. I mean, the guy was a stud. Mm-hmm. He is a stud, and he's 23 years old, and that's the main thing I think with Gurley is his youth. You know, he's got a lot of years left in this league, assuming no major injuries. He's in an offense that I think is, you know, will be. I mean, McVay being there is going to help Todd Gurley for as long as McVay is there. You know, I love Todd Gurley. Don't get me wrong. He's my number two overall player in my rankings. So, but it's not like Le'Veon Bell's chump change here, right? I mean, if you throw age out the window, and I know you can't do that exclusively, but I mean, Le'Veon Bell's as good as Todd Gurley. Easy.
I mean, as a pass catcher,
he's better.
Yes.
100%. I mean, Gurley had an unbelievable season catching the ball last year. Here's the other thing about Todd Gurley. When you're looking at stat lines at the end of this, I mean, over the last three, I mean, don't get me wrong. He was really good all year. All year he was really good. But the last, I mean, everybody remembers what he did in the fantasy playoffs last year, week 15 and week 16.
90 total points, right?
It was unbelievable. Like yeah, it's like off the charts, right? So, I mean, those two games are outlier games, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to some extent. Now, here's – you know, he was so good that even with those outlier games, you know what I mean? Like he was good and consistent all season. So I don't want to take that away from Gurley. He was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him. He's my number two overall player behind Nuke in my rankings. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of Gurley. But Le'Veon Bell was right there. He was right there. And I think, and for me, I think if I'm talking – if I'm talking this season, because we're not sure where Le'Veon's going to go, and we talked about that, we've talked about that on the show before. You know, his situation, if he stays in Pittsburgh, and we're talking a 2 to 3 year window, I like Belt as much as Gurley, easy.
Yeah, I can see that.
If he leaves and he goes to a situation that's worse or you know, poorer or whatever, then yeah, I mean that's going to play into things. But even so, I mean, talent wise and value wise, these guys are, I mean, they're both top 10 assets. You're talking about maybe the number one and number two running backs, number three, one and three maybe, you know. And then when you look at the other pieces in this deal, for me, that's what slants it to the Bell side. Jordan Howard has been a top 10 running back each of the last 2 years, I believe. Mm-hmm. Maybe just outside this past year. But he's been very good, undervalued.
But he can't catch.
So what? He hasn't been able to catch for 2 years. Now, I understand the thought process behind the new coach there, the new system there, Cohen being there and being very talented, and I think that's legit. But he's not carrying the ball inside the 20-yard line. Let's not, you know, I think Howard's floor is a lot higher than people give it credit for or give him credit for. Mm-hmm. Because he's going to score touchdowns. I mean, he's very efficient running the ball down around the goal line. He doesn't lose yardage, and he gets the carries down there. So that's going to continue. I think he'll carry the majority of the ball if Chicago does get up on people. And this offense should be improved. So should the defense with the additions that they have and have made this offseason. So, you know, I think Howard is going to have a role in that offense. Is he going to run for 1,300 yards? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's closer to 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns. I don't know. But that's valuable to me.
Especially for what I think I paid for it.
Yeah. And then Aaron Jones, and again, another one that we've talked about on the show. I'm a huge fan of Aaron Jones. I believe he's clearly the most talented running back in Green Bay. Whether management agrees is I don't know at this point if the staff agrees, but I think that this time next year there is a real possibility that we're talking about Aaron Jones as a first round startup pick. So we'll see what happens with that. That's kind of a bold take.
I still get the chills whenever you say those words.
I know that there are a few guys out there in the industry that also feel similarly. I've had discussions with them about it.
They've also been too afraid to say it out loud, unlike you just did.
Well, there have been a few that have definitely. I will give credit. I don't know if there's a bigger Aaron Jones fanboy out there than Addison. Addison Hayes is like, he's a big, big Jones fan. So, and we've had great discussion about him. I know there's a couple other guys that I've talked to about it that, you know, feel the same way about it. And then there's guys that thinks that Jamal Williams is going to get that job. So there's a lot of varying opinions on Jones. But for me, I think he's a super talented runner, especially, and he's a pretty good. I mean, I think he can catch the ball too. So, you know, I think he's going to get an opportunity. He was awesome last year. He really was. He was great. And Williams had a couple of great weeks too. Jones wasn't playing those games. You know, I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm very intrigued about that backfield. That is definitely a position battle that I'm going to be watching in training camp and throughout this coming season. It's one that I'm super interested in. But like I said, I believe that Aaron Jones is going to get that job. And when he does, I think he's going to run away with it. And obviously being the running back one in an Aaron Rodgers led offense is a valuable job to have. So for me, it's just the sum of all three parts. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we've talked about Collins a little bit, and I think I'm much lower on him than you are. But he is a valuable piece right now. And, you know, Baltimore didn't go out and draft another running back that I think is going to come in and take that job. They do have Dixon back, but who knows with him, you know, I don't even know if he's going to make it to the season. He hasn't really yet. So, you know, so we'll see what happens with all of this stuff, but, And I do like Pettis as well. I think he's you know, a decent piece as well, especially – I don't know. Does Trade Addicts 3 have return?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to make him a little bit more valuable in that league too, because I think he's going to be a return specialist for agreed. San Francisco.
Actually, but, he was the biggest part that I didn't want to let go of.
Yeah. Yeah, and he definitely has value. He was really good in Washington, and that offense was different. Like, he didn't play – I mean, they played Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl, which Penn State won that game. And Pettis was in and out of that game. He wasn't healthy. I think he had an ankle injury that limited him. And it was a big deal, like, that he wasn't involved in that offense was different with Pettis in the game than they were when he was on the sidelines. So, you know, he is a guy that I think can be an impact player in the league, especially a couple years from now, as he learns how to be an NFL wide receiver. But I think he'll make an immediate impact in the return game. So, yeah, I understand, you know, why that would be tough to let him go. But I do think you got this one. Just the three pieces on your side, I think I like overall the side that you're getting better than the side that you gave.
Me too. Yeah, everything you said. There's no real reason for me to go on about why I did what I did, because I thought I got the better side of it. And so do you. That makes me feel good. Gives me the warm and fuzzies. All right, so let's go on to another big boy trade that I wish happened last week when we had Superflex Dude on our show.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson and Royce Freeman for Jared Goff and Josh Rosen. This one on Twitter was 61% in favor of the Deshaun Watson side. I saw this and didn't understand this trade at all. I think you're closer on it than I am, but you just talked for like 10 minutes straight, so I'm going to talk a little bit first. All right, so let's break this down. We talked a little before off recording about how you break this down, but I'm going to break it down a little differently so you have something to talk about also.
Okay.
You have Deshaun Watson, and I want to buy Deshaun Watson. I have Jared Goff. What am I going to add to Jared Goff to buy Deshaun Watson? The first thing I would do is say, okay, here's Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
And I would be thrilled if you accepted it.
Yeah, so, and early first. Yep.
So what the hell is Royce Freeman doing in this? All right, that's my analysis. All right, you can go.
Yeah, and I mean when you put it that way, you know, when you put it that way, that's hard to argue. That's hard to argue. It really is. It really is. And I think, I mean, when we were talking off air, I think, you know, the way I described it, you know, I broke it down a little bit differently. I looked at this year's rookies. So Rosen versus Freeman. I think our show is a little bit higher on Freeman than.
Oh, yeah. Maybe,
right. I mean, maybe not most, but we're higher than some.
But no, go ahead. Explain it to me like you did, because the way it was very rational.
Yeah. So the way that I broke it down, I would pick Rosen would be a top four rookie pick for me this year in Superflex leagues for sure. He'd be either the 103 or 104, depending on how maybe even as high as the 102, depending on right, my
that's
team.
That's crazy talk. Let's just stick with the 104.
Well, I mean, it's not crazy talk. I mean, if you're not, you know, if for example, he would probably be the 103 because he's my top ranked quarterback, but there are a lot of people out there that have Mayfield ahead of him. So
yeah,
in that scenario, be four. Okay. I also really am high on Darius Geis. That never changed for me.
He's still my 102.
Yeah. Same here. I mean, he went from, you know, early second to late first, early second to late second, big deal. Like, I'm not worried about it
at all.
So yeah, for me, Rosen would probably be the 103. So if he's the 103, I think Royce Freeman for me has creeped up into the mid first, like 106, 107, 108, depending on who's still available. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking any of the receivers over him personally.
No.
So, you know, I mean, Nick Chubb's in there too, obviously, and Sony's in there. So, you know, there are other talented players too, depending on how you feel about those running back. Penny, you know, so there's. And there's a lot of variance in how people are valuing these rookie running backs. But anyways, I think it's reasonable to say Freeman he could creep into that conversation, especially for us. I think we're higher than some on him. But for me, he's in that middle
to mid 110.
Let's just say that.
Right. Absolutely. So if you're looking at that value, you're looking at essentially five. I mean, worst case scenario, you're looking 5-6 spots, right? In in the rookie draft. Does that value difference, is that the difference between Watson and Goff? And the answer is no. I mean, I think Goff for me is worth an early first. I mean, I would probably take him over either of the quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah.
But I would, I mean, and again, we're talking about Saquon Barkley this year, so it's a little bit, it's a little bit different. But I think Goff is worth probably an early first.
Early first or?
Yeah, early. I'm just making sure I'm using the right terminology because we talked
early
about
early and late.
Passing.
Yeah.
Yes, early and late. So early.
Or two mids.
Correct. I mean,
something
correct.
Around that.
Correct. And I was just going to say that. That's exactly right. So, you know, but Watson, I mean, we're talking about two first plus.
Yeah.
So in terms of where he's being valued now, I, you know, whether you agree with that or not, that's one thing, but he's going for two first plus. So, you know, for me, yeah, this one I would rather have. I mean, I think value wise, I think the value's on the Watson and Freeman side.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, unless you are just terrible at quarterback, you know,
fair, I don't remember what these teams actually are. I don't even remember who these guys are that did it.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I've said on before too about Watson, you know, I'm a big fan, limited games to prove what he can do, but man, was he good in those games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, superstar good. Like this kid, if he does what he did in the first seven games over a full 16 game season, I mean, next year we're talking about him.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
I mean, really, seriously. I mean, it was unbelievable the pace that he was on, and is that pace sustainable? Maybe not. But even if he takes a 10-15% reduction in that, he's still a top five quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sick. That's sick. Think about that for a second. I mean, that's sick. So for me, I would want the Watson side. I just think he's a superstar, and Freeman is enough, you know, to have me give those quarterbacks. So
yeah, and I feel like I probably should point out the reason I sound so spiteful about this trade is because I am ridiculously spiteful about this trade. I can't remember what it is anymore, and I don't even know. But I offered what I thought was a lot more than Jared Goff and Josh Rosen for Deshaun Watson. Actually, no, it included Gurley. It was before I did this other trade for Gurley. I offered up some package for Gurley for some Deshaun Watson package, which I thought was much better than this. So, boo.
It's always awesome when you let personal feelings get involved in the way that we feel about these.
Hey, I am a human, sort of.
That's good to know. I'm glad. We've never met in person, so that, you know, I mean, I'm glad to know that you are human.
At least I'm telling you that I am. That's the important part.
Well,
I believe it.
John said about me being a computer-generated voice last week, so.
Yeah, one that loved, you know. Yeah, because you love Saquon Barkley so much, and a little bit of whatever word
the Yinzer,
you guys made
Yinzer,
up.
Yinzer. It's not a made-up word. Would you like to fight me right now? Do not tell me that Yinzer is a made-up word, and Jagoff goes along with it. I'm telling you, I honestly think we should do a whole episode on Pittsburghese.
Look, if the New Jersey guy is telling you to calm down, I think you need to calm down.
I mean, we can go fist pump and...
Oh my God, that stuff's so bad. Oh, that stuff ruined New Jersey. All right, we've derailed. All right.
Yeah.
Actually, that's the end of the show sheet anyway, so we're ending the show.
It's a good place to end.
Especially now. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Keep doing that, please. Listen to the nice lady that's about to talk. Do what she tells you to do. Follow us. Rate, review, all of that fun stuff. And, yeah, we'll talk to you next week. See you later, Brian.
See you later, Outhouse.
Okay, bye.
Don't you dare.
Oh, I'm absolutely leaving that in.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.